Welcome to episode 14 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution Coronation Street. I'm Michael.
And I'm Gemma.
And for today's special episode, we'll be taking a look back at the story of the unforgettable Jack Duckworth, portrayed by actor Bill Tarmy, who sadly died on Friday, 9th of November 2012. Jack was a firm favourite with millions of fans of the show and would be greatly missed. Rather than focusing on him as part of our monthly classic character profile of the podcast, we thought it was only right to dedicate a whole episode to the character and actor. I think for anyone who watches Coronation Street, he's, and you ask to think of a character, he's always going to be one of the favourite ones that people mention.
One of the classic characters.
Yeah, he was in it for 30 years or so. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people can be in a show for a long time and not make a mark at all, but he's got so many things that make him memorable.
Yeah,
he's like the long-suffering husband of Vera.
Yeah, they made a great double act, and I think that's part of his appeal as a character.
Yeah, I think they were quite possibly one of the best double acts, not just on Coronation Street, but on any soap. Because Bill Tarmy and Liz Dawn had such a great chemistry together.
Yeah.
And part of what made them so funny as a couple was like how he was always avoiding her advances. He would never admit that he loved her.
No, he had a great difficulty with admitting any kind of affection.
Yeah, he didn't like to show his softer side particularly, did he?
No. He was a bit of a... He's a bit of a rogue at times, but a lovable one.
Absolutely, yeah. He definitely mellowed out sort of in the second half of his time in the street.
And he became more of a family man in his later years when he had Tyrone
to
take care of.
We're going to be starting off today's show by talking a bit about Bill's life history before moving on to talking about some of what made Jack such a memorable character.
So, obviously, Jack Duckworth was played by Bill Tarmy, who was actually born William Piddington on the 4th of April 1941 in Ardwick, Manchester. He left school at 15 and became an apprentice asphalt spreader for his stepfather until the age of 26. And this is something he blamed for his later breathing difficulties, and those difficulties obviously formed part of his decision to leave Coronation Street. Although he also was a lifelong smoker, so that might have had something to do with it as well.
Maybe a bit.
Yeah. So in 1968, he quit his job in construction to work as a nightclub singer. His first love really was singing, but he took additional work in shows like Coronation Street and other ITV dramas.
Yeah, I've seen him in Crown Court, I think, or clips of him in that. I've also seen clips of him doing his nightclub singing as well. It's quite funny seeing him up on stage in his like 70s gear.
Yeah, so he took on other jobs to sort of pay the rent, really. So obviously, at some point, he changed to his stage name, Bill Tarmy, and the story behind that is actually quite interesting because it wasn't even created by Bill himself. He was putting on a charity event at the Stockport Bus Club, and apparently Bill Piddington was too long to fit onto the chalkboard, so they renamed him Bill Tarmy, which was a misappropriation of the surname of the American crooner Mel Torme. So Bill stuck with it because that night he had such a good response to his act that he thought it's probably the start of a winning streak.
Yeah.
So he discusses in his autobiography about when he was offered the job, a permanent contract working as Jack Duckworth. He said, "I was concerned I might make a fool of myself and it'd be an embarrassment to my family." He also said he was terrified of letting people down. "They put a lot of faith in me, but I was no actor. I didn't have any formal training. I'd picked it up as I went along. What I let myself in for?" And that's quite typical of the man himself. If you read his autobiography, you can tell he sort of considers himself just to be somebody who turned up and read lines.
Yeah, he found it quite difficult to remember his lines back in the early days.
Yeah, and he also never really considered himself worthy of being famous for being Jack Duckworth, but I think that's part of his charm.
Yeah.
He had health problems that had dogged him even before he began working as Jack Duckworth, as he had had a serious heart attack in 1976. And a stroke in 1977, and he was obviously taken on permanently to work as Jack Duckworth in 1983.
Yeah.
The year after I was born.
The year that I was born.
Yeah. So he became a firm fixture on the street because of his chemistry with Liz Dawn, and obviously was a beloved cast member. But his real wife was, of course, Alma, who he met in the local youth club in 1955. And in 1959, when he was just 18, they had been dating for 3 years and were talking about getting married. Oh. So Bill went and asked Ali's father for his hand in marriage, and bought her a diamond ring from a gift catalogue, which he paid for in weekly instalments for the princely sum of £17. So Alma often found herself swept to one side by Bill's fans, who didn't know who she was, because they were expecting to see Vera. And often they spoke to him as though he was actually the character.
Which I think that's common when people meet celebrities.
He found that quite strange, which you would do.
Yeah.
Liz Dawn had similar experiences with her husband, Don Ibbotson, who was also pushed to one side by overeager fans, and it only got worse when the four of them were at an event together, when Alma and Don would get pushed aside so that the fake couple could be together. In 1992, Bill was featured on This Is Your Life, which is obviously the famous biography show hosted by Michael Aspel. And he said, I told Ali in the past I never wanted to be the subject of the programme. I said it would be hugely embarrassing. I'm pleased she had the good sense to ignore me, because it was the greatest honour to be chosen and it became one of the highlights of my life.
Oh.
He was also saying in his autobiography about how he couldn't believe that anyone could be tricked into not knowing that they were going to be the subject of the show, and then proceeds to explain that that was exactly what happened to him, and his wife was sneaking around behind his back, and she was even in hospital at one point, and he would come in one door and the producer of the show would duck out the other.
Didn't he sing to his wife at the end of the episode?
Yeah, for the climax of the show he sang The Wind Beneath My Wings for his wife, which he credits that performance as a starting point for a success in the recording business, which kicked off in 1993, because the father of an executive at EMI had seen the show and suggested that Bill be signed for the company. Bill received a letter in the post from composer, arranger and conductor Derek Wadsworth, suggesting they make an album together, but he thought it was a hoax. Eventually Ali convinced him a couple of weeks later to give him a ring, and from there they created three albums. A Gift of Love was his first album for EMI and sold 180,000 copies. Following that, 4 months later, the second album, Time for Love, sold the same amount, and he got two gold discs.
That's quite close together then, those two.
Four months apart. Wow. His third album, After Hours, was in 1996, but Bill wasn't as positive about the experience for that one, saying, I don't want to get involved in any mudslinging here, let's just say things didn't work out. But he adds, I'm sorry it ended on a sour note, but I'll always be grateful I had my moment in the sun.
Hmm.
So from what I can tell, it was something to do with royalties and
money
things. In his last years on the street, Bill found his breathing difficulties, along with sleep apnea and heart problems, and also I think he was quite deaf as well, prevented him from taking part in the simplest of scenes. And much like Liz Dawn, he was very often restricted in movement when filming. Although his fellow actors attempted to help modify scenes to accommodate his health, he eventually decided to quit the show, although he was convinced by his wife and the show's producers to remain on the street until the 50th anniversary of the show. On the morning of 9th of November 2012, almost exactly 2 years after his on-screen counterpart died, Bill passed away whilst on holiday in Tenerife, aged 71. His family released a statement. The family of Bill Tarmey have confirmed that he sadly passed away this morning in Tenerife. They have respectfully asked the media for privacy as they grieve for a wonderful husband, father and brother. So that's Bill Tarmey's life briefly. If you want to know more about him, his autobiography was released in 2010 and covers his career up until leaving Coronation Street, so that's something to look out for.
Yeah. Right, we're going to dedicate most of the rest of the show to our memories of Jack Duckworth, a character which we can talk a lot more about. We've got to start off talking about the brilliant chemistry between
Bill and Liz Dawn.
Yeah, so they
played Vera.
Yeah, his Jack's little swamp duck. Yeah, he had lots of little names like that, but I think that's the one that most people remember.
Yeah.
Jack first appeared on the 28th of November 1979 at Brian and Gail's wedding. The character had been mentioned a few times before that by Vera, but it had been like, oh, Jack can't come, have you heard about my husband Jack this, Jack that, but it was a couple of years until he was actually cast, even though he'd been working as an extra for a few years before that, so he'd been in the background a few times, but not as Jack Duckworth, no. The story behind Jack and Vera was that they married in 1957, which meant they celebrated their golden anniversary in 2007. And actually, if you think about it, that's quite an achievement. I mean, most people in real life don't stay together for 50 years when they're married. That's quite
a long time.
And for a soap couple to do it, that's...
Well, considering that most of the storylines revolve around relationship drama.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of very many couples at all that on Coronation Street at the moment that have been married for very long, or that I can see staying married for very long. The only one I can really think of is Roy and Hayley. I think they...
Yeah, but they weren't even married.
They weren't legally married for the first 10 years or so. But they're the only couple that I really can't see the writers splitting up. So I think that Roy and Hayley might be in it for quite a long time
to try and be
the next long-standing couple.
Well, as you said, they celebrated the golden anniversary in 2007, but even so, they didn't have the best of relationships.
No, they did seem to hate each other sometimes. They had quite a rocky marriage, didn't they?
They were always sniping at each other and sarcastic remarks and things.
Yeah, Vera has always seemed to be whacking Jack with her handbag, and I mean, with good reason sometimes.
Yes,
he was a bit of a Jack the Lad, I guess, wasn't he? He was always ducking and diving. They'd both had affairs. For example, in 1982, Vera had a secret boyfriend, and at the same time, Jack was chasing after Bette Lynch. But despite all of these affairs, they had so much bad luck as a family. That was something that they were often known for. They really needed each other. So
yeah, I think people like to see a couple on screen who bicker and argue, partly to say to themselves, oh, at least we're not that bad, but also to say, look, I guess it's okay to argue sometimes, because you can have arguments all the time, as we know, and still be quite happy with each other.
Yeah. I think one of the big stories or moments that lots of people remember when they think of Jack and Vera, especially early Jack and Vera, was the dating agency storyline.
Yeah.
And we've seen that so many times on clip shows, and I watched it back when they were showing repeats on Granada Plus 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago.
This was a thing where she saw a video of him.
No, Bette saw the video of him. She showed it to Vera. He basically tried to go sign up to a dating agency under the name Vincent Clare, and he was like supposed to be this American lounge singer or something. And
that was back in the day. That was how you did dating agency. You'd have to film a little video of yourself, an advert.
And Bette, who also was with the agency, saw that, and then she told Vera, and Vera's revenge was to dress up as
red-headed
Carol Monroe and arrange a date with Jack and the Rovers.
In the Rovers, yeah.
and the famous scene is him walking in. Vera's there with her red wig on, and Jack walks up to her, sort of schmoozes up to her, hands her a box of chocolates, and she turns around
and gives him a whack.
Yeah.
Much to everyone's excitement.
Yeah, everyone in the Rovers is looking about laughing, and that... The line that she says after that, when he says, oh, you're not a widow, and she goes, I will be 10 minutes after I get you home. Brilliant.
If you look at the characters in the background of that scene, it's hilarious too, but you can see Betty just grinning her head off.
Yeah. So after that, they moved into the street at number 9, because they'd lived elsewhere up until that point. There were lots of other sort of things that got in the way of their marriage or were threatening to split them up, such as he had a mistress, Dulcie Froggatt, who he met on a window cleaning round. And in 1987, his son Terry also started seeing her.
That is really horrible.
Yeah. Well, Vera found out that she was dating, or she was seeing Terry, and then Dulcie also admitted that she'd been seeing Jack as well, and Vera threw Jack out, but he managed to worm his way back into it. In 1988, Jack sued Vera's insurance company when she drove into a lamppost and broke his nose. She'd won this Vauxhall Nova in a competition, and she passed the driving test first time, but then had that crash. He got the money, but because he didn't have a bank account, he couldn't pay in the cheque, so she took the cheque, so I'll pay it in. And then she ended up spending it all on home appliances. I think during the 90s, as Jack and Vera were both getting older, the couple mellowed out a little bit.
Yeah, they were less fiery and sort of extravagant.
Yeah, but he still had to refuse her romantic advances. She definitely didn't lose that appetite for him. There's some scenes in the Rovers where she's saying, oh, look, I've got my sexy underwear on.
Yeah.
And sort of the look on his face, the way he thinks, oh, no, what have I got? How can I escape this one? He gulps back his whiskey.
Yeah, I was saying before this we started recording, it reminds me of Peggy and Al from Married with Children.
Yeah, it really does.
It's like the British version.
yeah. So, I mean, I remember, I think it was their 44th wedding anniversary. This was, I guess, 10 years or so ago, when we really got to see Jack's soft side. And we knew that he loved Vera, really. But for this anniversary, he set up a surprise meeting with her at his the shed at his allotment, and they sort of had like a chips dinner under the stars together, and he sung to her. It was really, really nice. Aww. I love that. I think, if I'm remembering rightly, his and Vera's wedding anniversary is the same day as my mum and dad's.
Oh, wow.
So that's how I remembered my mum and dad's anniversary.
Yeah.
Okay. But, oh, Jack and Vera's anniversary, better ring mum and dad up.
Yeah. 2005, posed nude.
Yeah, do you remember that? No. That was, he agreed to sell his body to an artist once he died, because he found an artist that liked to paint dead bodies.
Oh my goodness.
And Vera found out about that he'd been painted in the nude, obviously, while he was still alive, and there was a funny scene where she grabs the painting and smashes it over the top of his head. His glasses go all wonky. That was
quite
funny.
He was raising money for...
Yeah, for a Christmas present for Vera. So again, showing his softer and more romantic side. Obviously, the tragedy struck in the relationship in 2008 when he came home and Vera was dead in her chair. They were going to move away to Blackpool.
That was very sad.
That was really sad. And you can see how it really... affected the character.
Well, yeah, and also Bill Tarmy does say that I think the shine came off of working in Corrie when she left.
I remember in the years before Liz Dawn left, they'd always said, well, if one of us goes, we both go. And even though it didn't happen exactly like that, there wasn't too long in between it, because it was in 2000.
Well, because he was convinced to stay on longer than he intended to anyway.
Yeah, just to make it to the 50th anniversary, so not long before the tram crash episodes, he died and was reunited with Vera as a ghost. And I really loved that scene. You weren't too convinced by it, were you? I thought it was going to be utterly cheesy, and I think you think it kind of was a bit, don't you?
Yeah.
But to me, the way that it brought Vera back, and they had that little dance together, and she comments on how he's gone all soft, I thought it was really, really lovely, and one of the best soap exits that I can remember.
It was a nice special touch for a special couple, I think.
Definitely. So Vera wasn't the only important person in Jack's life. Let's rewind a bit and think about his son, Terry. He was a bad un, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was born in 1964 and first made his appearance in 1993 when Bill got his contract to...
Yeah, and Terry came.
Contract.
Terry came in around about the same time as Curly and Kevin, because it was the producer's way of getting some younger blood into the show. And basically, he caused trouble for Jack and Vera all the way through the 80s, including breaking into the corner shop, getting Andrea Clayton pregnant in 1986.
Tisk.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the main thing that Terry's remembered for was the baby selling saga, which happened between 1992 and 1993. He returned back to the street after he'd been away for a few years with Lisa Horton, who was pregnant with Tommy, who we got in
Brilliant.
Now.
Brilliant, Tommy, what a great character.
But I can't remember whether it was late 92 or 93, Lisa was hit by a car, and Jack and Vera looked after Tommy for a while. They loved being grandparents. And then one day, Terry sold Tommy to... the
Lisa's
other grandparents,
parents.
To Lisa's parents, and that was such a shock for...
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a shock for Jack, really, because he never really trusted Tommy.
I think that Vera always had a soft spot for Terry and turned a blind eye to
him. Yeah, in the same way that Deirdre always defends Tracy to whatever she does. But Jack snapped and punched Terry, which was, I think, a triumphant moment. I'm sure lots of people cheered in their armchairs when that happened.
Yeah, Terry, I mean, that wasn't the end of Terry, though, because he kept popping up every now and then.
Yeah.
And he tried to scam some money off of Jack and Vera when they bought the Rovers.
Yeah. He also sold Vera a dodgy car in the late 90s, which ended in Judy Mallet's death. And through so many of these things, Vera still kept on forgiving him, and Jack was constantly disowning him, basically.
Yeah.
But by the millennium, Tyrone had pretty much become their surrogate son. Tyrone was obviously introduced through... his mum, Jackie, who was obviously an awful mum, so Tyrone never really had parent figures. Jack and Vera never really had
a good son.
A good son. So it was a perfect match, really. Yeah. Tommy moved in, and it was so nice over those 10 years. Because Tyrone is totally just the opposite of Terry. Terry would only think of himself, but Tyrone was
such a nice, loving, kind of son. He was very selfless and wanted to look after Jack, and especially in his later years, he just wanted to. Even though I don't think Molly was very happy that they had to share their home with Jack, Tyrone knew that he owed it to him, really.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember when after Jack died and Tyrone called him Dad, he sort of said, "Oh, goodbye, Dad," and that almost brought a tear to my eye as well.
That was very sad.
Yeah.
So let's move on to talk a bit more about Jack's work and his hobbies. He's quite famous for his pigeons.
Yeah, when they moved into number 9, they inherited pigeons from a guy called Chalky, who was there before them. And throughout the 80s and 90s, you sort of thought, did he love the pigeons more than Vera?
I think she thought that he did.
Yeah, she was a bit jealous of those pigeons, was Vera.
Yeah.
He'd go out into the yard and sort of give them a stroke, and he'd coo to them.
Yeah, he talked to
them. But she would never do to Vera.
No, talk to them more sweetly than he ever did Vera.
Yeah, and she once pretended to feed him pigeon pie.
To get revenge.
Yeah, that was a funny storyline. He'd been sent to a hypnotist to try and stop him smoking, but then he pretended that he'd regressed to a past life of the 17th century Lusty Jack, which was just an excuse for him to go and feel up all the other barmaids.
Sexual harassment.
Yeah, and when Vera found that out, she cooked him a pie and said it was pigeon pie. Do you remember that stuffed pigeon that they had as well?
I can't remember that.
He didn't like the idea of a pigeon of his being stuffed. Aww.
He's had, like many people on the street, he's had a variety of jobs, most of them based around the area that he lives in.
As you do.
A taxi driver, which he had to quit when he was drink driving.
Yeah, he was breathalyzed and he couldn't drive for a year, so he had to give up that job.
He sold shirts under the name of Mike Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
He bought Stan Ogden's window cleaning round.
Yeah, which led to the affair with Dulcie Froggatt.
Yeah. He was a pot man responsible for a fire in 1986.
Yeah, lots of people remember him for working at the Rovers back in the 80s. And one time he went down to the cellar to change a fuse, I think, and he fitted the wrong one. And that's what caused the big fire that nearly ended in Bette Lynch dying.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. He was a welder, a B&B owner, and a lollipop man.
Yeah, but I think the most important job for him was in 1995 when he and Vera bought the Rovers. He'd inherited £30,000 from his brother Cliff, who died, and then because Bette had just left, they were able to buy the Rovers. They were going to buy one of the houses across the street, but from Des Barnes, I think, but he pulled out in the end. The Rovers was no longer owned by Newton and Ridley, so it was a free house. However, things didn't go quite so well for them.
No, 2 years later, they owed £17,000 in taxes, which is a hefty sum.
Yeah, considering they paid £30,000 for the Rovers itself. Yeah,
so turns out they've been taking out the till.
Yeah. I think they just kind of thought that that's what you did when you had a business. You could take from the till. It doesn't really work like that, because they went on holiday to Blackpool for a little bit, leaving Betty and her husband Billy in charge, and they were surprised to find that takings were up, partly because
they weren't stealing out of the till.
They were in dire straits, basically, and they had to end up selling a 50% share of the business to Alec Gilroy. But in 1998, Alec bought the rest of the Rovers, so he became the sole owner. And again, while they were away in Blackpool, he changed the locks, so they couldn't even get back in. He was a bit of a nasty piece of work, really, was Alec.
Is that the famous scene where they're both standing in the yard of the Rovers with their suitcases shouting?
What do we do now? I don't know. What do you want to do now? And of course, we can't talk about Jack's hobbies and work without mentioning the bowls storyline in 2004, which was one of Bill Tarmy's personal highlights. The Rovers were putting together a female bowls team with Haley and some of the others.
Yeah, not the same as bowling.
No.
Bowls.
Yeah. Pool. and because they knew that Jack was so good at it, they got him to dress up as a woman. So his alter ego was Ida Fagg. And he wore his big pink dress and a wig.
It was the most terriblest dress I've ever seen.
It's like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Like a hippo. It was like Mrs. Doubtfire. It's like the British do Mrs. Doubtfire the same as we do Married with Children.
Yeah, but it was just hilarious, sort of sort of seeing him kind of doing like kissing to the mirror and stuff and trying to, and walking through the street and having to avoid people seeing
brushing
him.
His blonde hair out of his eye.
And Vera thought that he was actually having an affair with this Ida fag, but then he kind of kind of revealed all but said that he wouldn't be, or Vera wouldn't be ever seeing Ida again.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many other things that we could talk about.
Yeah, we don't want to make this episode too long, but we haven't mentioned things like the taped up glasses that he's so famous for, the stone clad house, which is the eyesore of the street.
Still there, isn't it?
Still there. The stone cladding went up in the early, I think that was in the 80s, and then in the early 90s was when they were painted blue, some of the stones.
Yeah, delightful.
There was a funny scene also where he was stuck up on a roof when he was rescuing his pigeons one time. There were some brilliant moments where him and Vera were trapped upstairs in the Rovers. Jim had removed the stairs because they couldn't afford to pay him. And then there was another time they were they kind of were squatting in there when Alec Gilroy was trying to throw them out. So people were feeding them food through the windows. There's so much. And if any listeners have got any other favourite memories that they'd like to share, do write in and tell us about them.
We have some tributes from some of the actors who've worked with Bill Tarmey.
Yeah, there are loads. They've been flooding in, and we've picked out some of the main ones to read out to finish off the show.
Liz Dawn said, Bill was part of my family. When you work with someone for so long as we did, it becomes more than just work. Our families were close, and I'm devastated for Ali and his family. I'm totally bereft. He will always be remembered by everyone he came into contact with because he was such a kind and generous man. You couldn't wish to meet a more lovely man and a true gentleman. He is a gentle giant and I will miss him so much.
Yeah, Alan Holsall, who plays Tyrone, who I think owes a lot to Bill. I think he was a bit of an inspiration to him, really.
Yeah.
It said, he was very close to me. I worked with him here for many years. He was a wonderful man. On screen, people knew him as Jack and loved him as Jack. And, you know, the people who knew him off screen loved him just as much as Bill. I loved him as his character, but as a man, I love him a lot more. Denise Welch, who played Natalie Horrocks, has said, I'm so sorry to hear of the sad death of Bill Tarmey. Like many people, I grew up laughing and crying at the wonderful on-screen relationship with Jack and Vera Duckworth. I was therefore so honoured to find myself working alongside Bill when I joined the cast of Coronation Street. He was a wonderful actor and a wonderful man, and will be sadly missed by everyone whose lives he touched.
William Roach said, over the years, Coronation Street has produced characters who are really powerful and legendary. Jack Duckworth was one of those. This was down to Bill Tarmey's incredible skills as an actor.
I think William's absolutely right there. He is legendary. He's one of the biggest names in Coronation Street, and I think when there have been name your favourite character polls, Jack's always right up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right up there at the top.
I think that Bill Tarmey just had an amazing amount of charisma, really.
Yeah.
Because that's the sort of thing you need to be able to portray a character as not necessarily a goody two shoes and still have people love you.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We've also received one tribute on our Coronation Street Facebook page from Jason Jones, who says, what a fantastic actor. I'm still stunned. I think Jack and Vera were the greatest double act on TV. I think the best moment was the way he left with dignity and grace. Funniest was him dressing up as a woman in women clothes for the lawn bowls competition. Oh, and Jack being caught out by Vera in the dating service video. As I'm writing this, it's 6:41 a.m. here in Melbourne, Australia. I will have a drink for him. I wish it was Newton and Ridley's finest, but I might have to settle for a Coke.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and we'll raise our cup of tea to him, I think, as well.
Yeah. And we also have a tweet from Rob Innes, who said, out of all of the Corrie deaths over the years, Jack and Vera were the only ones I shed a tear to. I don't cry very often.
If anyone else has got any tributes to Bill or would like to share any memories of Jack, like we've said, you can email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com. Leave some comments on our blog, which is conversationstreet.podbean.com. You can tweet us, finding us at conversationstreet, or do a search for us on Facebook, and we'd love to hear your comments and memories.
Yeah, let us know what you thought of Jack and Bill's portrayal of him.
Yeah. We'll be back with a regular episode next weekend, episode 15. So we hope you'll join us then. And to play us out, here's Softly As I Leave You, the track that was used for Jack and Vera's departure from the show. As I leave you there, as I leave.